สวัสดีครับ Good morning. First of all, I wish to thank the FAO and particularly Professor Wai Ming Miao and NACA for inviting me to make this presentation. And it's nice to be back in Bangkok for this type of meeting, having been involved in such meetings for a long time over the years. Thank you, Yuan. Okay, the topic that has been assigned to me is production and use of aquaculture feeds and implications for sustainable growth of the sector in the Asia Pacific. The task assigned to me, in fact, multi-task, is quite extensive, and starting with status and trend of production, contribution of increased use of commercial and farm-made feeds, major issues with increased use of commercial and farm-made feeds in aquaculture, how these issues can be effectively addressed to support sustainable growth. I don't know to what extent I can meet this wish list, but I will try my best. My organization of the talk is to talk of the future. We need to know the past and the present. Food fish availability, food fish consumption status, food fish needs, where will it come from, the role of feeds, fish meal, fish oil, fish ingredients, feed ingredients, feed management. I've taken some from the world's State of World Fisheries and Aquaculture and from a recent World Bank report. Let's get on to food needs. Global food production must increase by 70% by year 2050 to meet our growing needs. You can see in the 1950, 2006, 2050, the population growth and the food needs increasing correspondingly. And food consumption per capita, major commodities are again increasing, and fish will, in fact, have the highest percentage increase. So as I said before, food production has increased by 70%. That means nearly we need an additional 1 billion tons of cereals, 1 billion tons more of cereal, nearly 200 million tons of meat is required by 2050. That's a heck of a lot. In evaluating future food needs, we had to take into account changing food habits. We all hear about some of the developing countries like China, India, the growing middle class and their aspirations for what is perceived to be better quality food. And as you can see, there is lots of, this is the meat-eating populations mostly in the West, and that's the Eastern or the developed countries. What is happening is this is decreasing and this is increasing, and that's where food fish comes in. So the trends in food fish consumption. Food fish consumption increased significantly over the years. It was only 6 kilograms in 1950, and it increased to 16.2 kilograms. And if you go back to the World Bank projections, by 2030, the per capita consumption in kilograms globally will increase to 18.2, China to 41, that's a lot, Southeast Asia 28.3. So what is all this is indicating that we will need a huge amount of fish food supplies. Some fishy facts. In 2014, fish provided more than 3.1 billion people, almost 20 to 30% of their animal protein intake, essential fatty acids, vitamins, and so forth. It was mostly an affordable animal protein source, particularly in rural areas. At the present rate of consumption and accounting for population growth, we will need nearly 30 million tons of extra food fish by year 2050. And that, I think, Dr. Miao also mentioned yesterday. So where does this 30 to 40 million come from? Aquaculture development, maybe inland fisheries rationalization and development. Importantly, aquaculture and inland fishery produce is not reduced, when I say reduce, it's not converted into fishery products like fish meal and fish oil. All of it is consumed directly or indirectly for humans. So that's an important thing. As you know, in the capture fisheries, marine capture fisheries, nearly 25 million tons is reduced to fish meal. We can't talk of fish food supplies without taking into other needs, other things which are happening around us. It is suggested that plastics will outweigh fish in oceans by 2050. Doesn't matter if it happens. Even if half of that is true, that's a very frightening thought. It does not need to outweigh fish by 2050. If it outweighs half of the fish production, fish in the oceans, by 2050, it is a very frightening thought. And these are things, this is the recent fish kill in Vietnam, around the, right, in Nha Trang area. And one other thing which you have to take into account is the climate change factors that are taking place. Again, this was mentioned yesterday. This graph gives you an increase of the increase of climate change events that will occur over the years has been increasing. So this is something which we had to keep in mind. Okay, the trends in food fish supplies, I'm sure you all have seen this graph many a time. This is the latest, which is produced by FAO, which is very straightforward. Aquaculture, capture fisheries static over the years, last 15 years. Capture for non-food purposes, that's the fish meal production. Aquaculture share on fish consumption has increased to nearly 50%. In other words, for the first time over the last 10 years, more fish come from a farm supply like other staples, our rice, wheat, all that is farmed, meat. So for the first time, fish is falling into that category. Now let's get on to, that's the overview. Let's get on to the role of Asia-Pacific region in global aquaculture. What is important is global aquaculture, Asia-Pacific aquaculture in the blue bar, if you can make out. Importantly, nearly 92% of global aquaculture come from the Asia-Pacific region. And this is different categories. I have taken inland fish, fin fish, and shrimp. You can say in the Asia-Pacific contribution to global production of these commodities are well over 90%. So the take-home message to this point is considerable increases in food production will have to occur to meet population growth. This is exacerbated by changes in food habits, consumption patterns. Changes in societal structure, increased middle classes in populous countries, etc., have to be taken into account. The environment is deteriorating for other reasons. There is limitation on land and water. Aquaculture is the fastest growing primary sector, contributes over 50% to fish food consumed, dominant in the Asia-Pacific region. Therefore, the Asia-Pacific region has a greater burden or responsibility on the regions to cater to the increasing global demand. The increasing global demand has to primarily, in other words, come from the Asia-Pacific region. So there is a greater responsibility or burden. So these are some of the projections. Again, I don't want to go into detail, which are taken from various reports. 2011 data, capture fisheries, aquaculture. The thing is changing as we proceed over time. The other considerations which you have to take into account when we are going to project fish food needs is the growth rates of the aquaculture sector itself. These two give, for example, the rate of growth over the years of fin fish production in aquaculture, which has stabilized now over the last 10 years. Whereas in the shrimp, it goes through, as we all heard yesterday also, it goes through bloom and bust. So the rate of increase in aquaculture production over the last few decades cannot be ignored. shrimp production is the most unpredictable. So whenever we are going to predict something, we have to take this into account. So sustaining aquaculture production from an Asia-Pacific point of view, two major aquaculture produce need feeds. Finfish to varying proportions, depending on the species cultured, carnivorous cold water species, etc., totally dependent on external feeds. All marine species dependent on external feeds. Intensity of culture, cyprinids, catfishes, again depends on the feeds. Shellfish, shrimp, almost all shrimp produce based on feed input. So not all aquaculture is based on feeds, but these are some of the things that we need. So estimating the feed required in aquaculture is a challenging task. The variety of species cultured is so different. Not all species are dependent on feed inputs. Range in intensity of the culture practices is different. The wide range of food types used in aquaculture, as it was apparent yesterday, commercial pelleted feeds, farm-made feeds, and so forth. Then the commercial feed manufacturers, not entirely devoted to aquaculture feeds for aquaculture species. As far as I know, in this country, there is only one exclusive aquatic feed manufacturer, and I think she's here, representative, and also commercial proprietary. The past trend versus feeds versus non-fed. There has been a marginal increase in the fed species, in particular in inland, represented by finfish. So this is seafood, sea fish, seaweeds and microalgae, no feed needed. But here is non-fed species, and here is non-fed marine and coastal. This is the fed inland fish. So finfish and shrimp. I have made certain assumptions, assuming that the annual rate of growth over the last 5 years is maintained. For finfish, three scenarios for 2020 and 2025, that 50% is production is fed, 70% production is fed, 80% production is fed. For each of the above production scenarios, I have used three FCRs. Shrimp for 2020 and 2025, 90% fed and three FCRs. This is what I come up with. So improved FCRs as you go on this way. 80% of finfish are fed. You will need nearly 65 million tons of fish. In 2050, at a low rate of FCR of 1.2, which is a further improvement, you need 76,000. And similarly, shrimp, about 9 million tons, and the lowest is 7 million tons. So these are just for your value. And these predictions are very close to the others which have done of fed species based on other literature. But I have really based my calculations primarily on the Asia-Pacific region. So the take-home message two is the amount of feed required to meet the projected finfish and shrimp production in the Asia-Pacific region is huge, literally huge. So here is the finfish shrimp total quantity by 2000, quantity of shrimp produced, quantity of finfish produced. That's the lowest feed quantity for finfish, highest depending on the conversion ratio improvements, and that's by 2025. So use of one ingredient which has attracted the most attention and our attention and energy, however, is on the decline. This leads me to the next important considerations in relation to fish. How certain countries continue to make significant progress in the rational use of fish meal and fish feeds. Any questions up to now? I'm prepared to. I hope it's clear. Fish meal, fish oil, misconceptions. I tend to believe this is an overrated issue. Fish or shrimp have no requirement of fish meal. What they need is essential amino acid, a correct balance of protein to energy ratio. Fish meal is popular because it's highly digestible, highly palatable, and has a dietary protein content with a very desirable amino acid composition. and no anti-nutritional factors. So remember that we all talk of fish meal, but there is no essential need of fish meal as such in our feeds. What the animals need is the essential amino acids and the correct protein to energy ratio. So in fact, Ronald Hardy, who is a leading fish nutritionist, whom some of us know, is fish meal, he said, is no longer the primary protein source in aqua feeds. A specialty ingredient added to enhance palatability, balance dietary amino acid, supply the essential nutrients, and biologically active compounds to enhance product quality. So let's keep this in mind. And let's not go on spending our energy and efforts on this rather misconception. Similarly, no fish shrimp needs fish oils, but need highly digestible energy sources, external fatty acids. Shrimp, in addition, needs cholesterol, phospholipids and cholesterol. The only real bottleneck is in relation to the long-chain fatty acids, EPA and DHA, but I won't go into details of that. So the trend is for global meal production to decrease gradually. So this graph shows you the global fish meal production is going down. Fish oil is constant. So it's currently level at almost 5 million metric tons. Is aquaculture growth going to come to a stop because fish meal production is going to be steady? No, it will not. Right? We have to look for alternatives in addition to a decreased use of fish meal in some major culture products. And that's why we are meeting here today. That's one of the... So the fish in, fish out has to be further improved. When you say fish in, fish out, is a concept that was developed by the Fish Meal Association, Jackson, and that is how much of fish meal goes in and how much fish come out at the other end. We also have to look at how the world's leading aquaculture nations continues to manage its feed strategy. I won't go into detail, but these are some of the fish in, fish oil ratios can be misleading. This is the original one, which was worked out by Jackson. And this is my colleague, Giovanni Turcini, who was working with me. He believes that there is a positive output of fish in, fish out. But I won't go into detail again. So the increase in demand for fish feed, aqua feed, use of other potential ingredients. Much research is done on alternate ingredients. Very little gets translated into practice. If you look at journals every day on fish nutrition, 90% of articles are substituting fish meal with X, Y, Z, W, C, and all that. But not even 1% of that get translated into practice. I used to do that 30 years ago, say my research. Why? Because very little cooperation between researchers and the industry. Industry concerns not taken into account in the research. Are these ingredients that we are testing as substitutions? Are the supplies regular? Can the industry meet the requirements? Can they source it on a regular basis? What about the processing cost of the ingredients? It is not like in the processing in the laboratory as opposed to the feed mill. What is the impact on machinery? You get all coarse ingredients being suggested as, in the laboratory it works beautifully, but in practice it does not. Or the fish meal. So main ingredients used, only two main ingredients have been used, agriculture produced, that's soybean meal and wheat flour. All the other 99% of the research is just not practicable, has not been translated, which is, I don't know what to say. And also we had to be conscious of increasing competing uses for other ingredients. So as we know, more agricultural products are being used for biofuels, fertilizer, and so forth. And we as researchers often do not take this into account. This is fish meal production. Price is also crucial. This is the price of fish meal. This is the soybean meal. And what what Shepherd and Jackson said was, what is important is the ratio between the two when you are going to produce, use it in the feeds. The ratio of fish meal to soybean meal is an important driving factor in inclusion in use of co-products from aquaculture fish processing industry has not been done so much. There is an increasing emphasis on the use of these products in the processing industry. For example, Thailand gets most of its fish meal from the tuna processing industry waste, right? So this is increasing, and this is where we need to work a little bit more. And this is, again, on the certain aquaculture industries which are very, very geographically located, concentrated, like the catfish industry in Vietnam. There is a lot of waste produced, but I know that in catfish industry, a lot of waste is being recycled, right, which has to be encouraged. Similarly, in China, they are trying to encourage this. If we need to sustain aquaculture production in the region, these initiatives have to be encouraged. So this is the current research which is going on. Now, this use of these byproducts in fish feeds is much more amicable than using most agriculture products, because they are not coarse, there are no problems about amino acid balance and so forth. So these are some of the This is in the Maldives. All this is dumped into the sea every day, right? And that's thousands and thousands of. Then meeting, I also believe there's a degree of rationalization of the number of feeds will be desired. Now, this is feeds for tilapia. You can see 7 feeds in the growth cycle. The amount, you know, for every centimeter of growth, there is a feed, right? What a waste. I don't think we need that type of thing. Right, so at times these misconceptions are being perpetrated for the benefit of the industry, pardon me for saying that, and the farmers are misled and they spend more money on. So this is where feed management comes. Do we need 7 feeds for the growth cycle? I don't believe so. And difference, if you can read carefully, the difference in the protein content is sometimes 0.2% between. Can feeds be maintained at 0.2% protein difference? I believe not. So these are some of the things which we have to take into consideration. This is where farmer training is needed. Fish in the system are not exactly the same size. So even if you have 7 feeds, right, in the culture system, they're varying. So what is the meaning of this, right? More feeds, more uncertainty in the management, and that induces wastage. The way we use feeds have to be made efficient. Look at the feeding. This is in catfish. Just dump the feed like this. Here. Half of it is wasted, sinking down very quickly. Reduce environmental loading of nutrients. Overfeeding does not result in good quality produce. So if we overeat, we don't become a better human being. We become a fat human being like me, you know. Right? How to develop innovative, we have to develop innovative feeding strategies. Reduce environmental loading, reduce cost on feeds, reduce feed use. All of the above will help towards sustainability without compromising product quality and economic viability. That's the important thing. Ultimately, aquaculture is an economic activity. It has to be economically viable, and using less feed does not necessarily compromise it. To me, China offers an example to the rest of the region. I think the Chinese delegate yesterday spoke a little bit. I think it's the same graph she said. Aquaculture production is increasing in China. Domestic fish meal is almost steady. Imported fish meal is going down. Right? So China, global fish meal production static over the last few years, but production of fish and shrimp have grown at a higher rate in China than globally. Aquafeed production in China, imported fish meal decreased. slight increase in local fish meal production. But with all these changes, right, China continues to produce more fish and shrimp. So how does it do that? That is, there is a change on the emphasis on the culture of species in fish meal inclusion level is lower. Species low in the trophic level is more encouraged. Use of fish meal, fish oil only in special feeds. They don't put fish meal and fish oil excessively into every feed. Selected stages of the life cycle. For the crucial stages of the life cycle, feeds have fish meal and fish oil. You can read this paper, which I was involved too. This gives you contribution of the freshwater aquaculture, food fish meal level in the feeds. So China is doing it very nice. So attain sustainability. In general, fish, especially in tropical systems, are fed, I believe, too much, often too high a quality. Protein required used in formulation feeds is based on laboratory studies, often done on small size fingerlings, controlled optimal conditions. Often the food inputs from tropical varying systems are not taken into account. A somewhat lower level of protein in the diet may give effectively a similar result. The concept of economically optimal dietary protein requirement is something which we have to follow. Only 2 days ago, there is the news item where human beings are considered overheating. Consumer waste leads to loss of 1/5 of world's food, study finds. That is, we are overeating. Similarly, we are overfeeding our fish. Right? That's my concept. This is a graph which shows you a schematic diagram. Response, growth rate or production. This is your dose, and as the dose increases, growth rate increases. But at some point, the rate of increase of the growth or the production is not proportional to the input, right? So you can get a production level at this point, not very lower from that point, but the amount, the economically, this point is much more viable. So you're not losing product quality, you're losing a little bit of the production, but your economic viability remains high. So these are some of the optimal dietary protein level findings, research which have been done, but it's not there. Other one is mixed feeding. Concept developed in 1985, and since this has been tested on many species, many situations. Many variations tested, that is low and high protein levels alternating, days of starving and feeding. Only recently practiced at farm level, a catfish farmer. A practicing catfish farmer used this concept by chance, and he saved nearly $20,000 per farm without sacrificing quality. Improved. In fact, there was an improvement in quality because the fish were less fatty, more acceptable to processors. That's him. Mixed feeding schedules he used. I won't go into details. Then there's the emerging concerns. I won't go into detail. Environmental health. You know, people are now beginning to, we are becoming over-conscious of health. And people are saying that using, for example, genetically modified food products in fish feeds will go into the fish and we eat the fish and we will be affected. This is in the long term, but we will have to keep that type of thing in mind. These are new things which are coming up. So the take-home message is feeds are unlikely to curtail intensification and sustainability. Fish meal and fish oil perhaps have been given too high a priority in relation to curtail intensification and sustainability. Aquaculture is not the culture of salmonids and shrimp. That's where all this comes, bias. Both conventional and unconventional approaches are available for aiding to find solutions for the feed problems associated with intensification and sustainability. The region should increase the emphasis on the cultural species feeding low in the trophic chain. So it's not only finding feeds, it is a whole paradigm change, whole conceptual change in our thinking is needed if we are to produce enough food. We can't produce animals high on the food chain for us to meet our feed requirement. That will not happen. Where possible, there should be an effort to recycle waste from animal product sector to be incorporated into foods. We need to bring together over the notion feeding in excess brings positive results. That's not true. There is farmers have to be told this and be trained in this. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.